Okay, I think this is episode 13. We'll say it is, and I'll just edit it. If
lucky
it's
number 13.
Lucky number 13. I was going to say happy Thursday or Friday, but we still hot.
Yeah,
still hot. Coffee. It is early morning. This is Tony. Everyone say hi to Tony. Tony is one of our athletes at CrossFit Irvine. He's also a very successful and versatile runner. So we're going to talk about all that today. But first and foremost, I'm so thankful the CrossFit Open is over. a couple reasons. A, I think this is like my 9th, 10th year doing it. And it's always fun. Mm-hmm. But like time stops during the Open. Like I think all the focus is on the Open, right? We do a lot of intramural sports here, a lot of weekly challenges, stuff like that. So it's like there's this adrenaline drop after the Open because everyone's like, now what? And I'm always like, you go back to going CrossFit. That's what you did before the Open. But first year doing the Open?
Yes, first year doing the Open. I, on the other hand, am sad and happy.
Sad
being because I think a lot of us had done sports at one point in our lives and we went from preseason to Open season, right? So we were in our season and basically like the championship rounds of playoffs. And so it was fun actually taking the skills that we may have not learned or not known that we could do and actually executing them. So we went from maybe thinking that we can't do strict pull-ups or even banded pull-ups and actually executing and accomplishing those. And congrats to everybody that got PRs, including myself. I was able to do kipping pull-ups for the first time in my career.
Nice.
Which was impressive because I couldn't even do pull-ups when I signed up for CrossFit.
So yeah, you've come a long way as far as training. I think that's the thing, is it's a great greenhouse. The stars kind of align. The motivation, the inspiration, the team atmosphere really does push you. I don't want to say beyond your means because I think it's always within your means, but I think a lot of people don't know what they're capable of until they're pushed or stimulated, right? Until like they have the opportunity to prove themselves that they are strong enough or they can do double unders or they can do one more push up. So that's why I love the Open. It's for me a way to kind of rekindle the light for training because it's like, A, there's stuff I'm still working on, but B, like I can't believe I've come this far. And for you and for all the beginners or new athletes to CrossFit, I think it's an eye opener on how far you guys have come just doing the training. Because I know we do weekly benchmarks and we do measure your workouts, but I think top down, you don't really see how far you've come until the opportunity of a challenge or a competition or an in-house competition. And then we get a lot of PRs happening because of that.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And I think, so anybody that hopefully watches this video afterwards, comment below on your PRs. But I just off the top of my mind, seeing Jay do single unders for the first time.
Yeah. That was huge too, because Jay, the coordination of the jump was very difficult for him. So the fact that he did single unders and he went to the double under clinic this past weekend too, which was kind of cool. We had a lot of people, Wadas do first handstand push-up sets. Last year, this time, she had no pull-ups. This year, she did all the pull-ups in the workouts, which was awesome to see that. What else? Any other notable?
Lucy and Lucerna Sanga. She kind of pushed the envelope and she joined the CrossFit Open. And I think watching her just constantly PR, she PR'd in deadlift.
Lucy pushed. Yeah. Like I was very impressed. She came ready to challenge herself. And I think the great thing for me, like as a coach and even me as an athlete, it's more motivating for me to see beginners push, get out of their comfort level, right? And see what they're capable of. It kind of holds me accountable to continue to push, so to speak, right? Because the more version, you know this as a runner, the higher up the scale you get as far as level of expertise, as far as hours spent training, it's harder to get those PRs, right? It's like literally like years of practice and finally your PR, whereas like Lucy and a lot of first timers, like every week, PR, right? And I think that's one of also the challenges with CrossFit too, is the longer you're here, if PRs is the only thing that's motivating you to train, it's going to get harder and harder to get those PRs, but that should motivate you more to train, right? Because you want to, you finally made your way up that kind of curve that you want to train harder for the harder PRs, so to speak, like muscle ups, right? Or body weight snatch, stuff like that.
Exactly. And I think that to tie that all in together, I think you touched on it right there. What motivates us? And I think watching, I still consider myself a beginner at CrossFit, but just in general, as an athlete that's competed in college for running, I think it's beautiful when we get to see our friends and other athletes PR, and it's what motivates us. I think watching our fellow athletes PR is what motivates me. Watching Alex, watching people like that, I think that's what the Open's about, and it really takes everything that you envision in a sport, hitting the game winning shot, and it feels the same way too.
That. Yeah, and I think that's a great analogy. It allows people who have never thrown the game winning shot or kicked the game winning goal to feel that exhilaration and that sense of accomplishment. You know what I mean? And to do that for 5 weeks in a row is pretty exhilarating. I think that's another reason for the kind of adrenaline dump afterwards. But we still do benchmarks, right? We still have in-house challenges and stuff like that. So there's still plenty of opportunity. But overall, good experience for the first Open?
I think so. I can't wait till next year.
You see, Tony's already signed up for the next one.
47 weeks to train you guys. That's
what it is. 47 more weeks. Everyone just go swim, play racquetball for now. We have plenty of time to train. Segueing into our run clinic. So Tony, for the thousands and thousands of people that are going to watch this, and by thousands, I mean like 10, give us your background as far as running. Right. So we have a run clinic coming up this Saturday. Right. It's a 2 to 3 hour clinic. We're going to go over the whys to train and practice running, hydration, nutrition, mobility, technique, drills. We're going to go through the whole nine as far as running. But why are you sitting here, so to speak, for running? Like, what's your background in running?
Okay. So just for things to look forward to, everything that Rob just said, plus you'll get to see our beautiful faces.
Oh my goodness. That's a reason enough to show up.
And positive affirmation.
Oh,
but yes. No, so my background, I started running when on accident. Actually, I was a wrestler, a junior JV wrestler in high school, and I ran because wrestling, you're always trying to cut weight. And I actually ran in front of the running coach, and that's how I got into running. So I've been running now for close to 10 years. No, actually more than that, 14 years. And it makes me feel old, but so I got into running. I actually was a middle to average runner in high school that just happened to get it my senior year. I ran at the CIF, which is California's playoffs, that's how I got into college running. And so I ran at USC. I ran at the elite level for 4 years. In terms of running PRs, I'm a 4:11 miler, 155 800 meter runner, as well as in the longer distances, I'm a 31 minute 10K runner and a 1 hour and 10 minute, 1 hour, 9 minute half marathoner. And so I just PR'd, I just did my first marathon at 2:40.
Congratulations.
So like I said, I've been running for 14 years. I've trained under some amazing coaches, and I think that's what got me into more of the coaching realm of it. I've been able to really be under the USA Olympic coach. His name is Joe Virginis. He actually taught a class, and I was able to get under his tutorship for a little bit. And after that, I worked under the third man to break 4 miles, or the 4 minute mile, Laszlo Tabori. So my coaching credentials, I think, is in my actual view on running comes from those gentlemen, mm-hmm. being able to train under them, being able to get to know them, being able to learn from them. So in terms of running, 14 mm-hmm. years, in terms of coaching, I've been coaching now, or coaching, working with independent runners for about 4 years. I got injured my senior year of college and actually stopped running for almost 6 years. And that's what really pushed me into working with runners and really making sure that I help you guys achieve your guys' dreams. And that's really my motivation, is trying to be an asset to the people that want to run and really want to work hard, which is what CrossFit's about. It's I mean, you're only here because you want to be. Nobody's holding a gun to your head. That's what motivates me. That's really what my credentials come from. It's really just learning from the best. I like to learn even from Rob. I always come pick his brain. I come pick Casey's brain. I probably annoy her. I'm surprised she doesn't have gray hairs for me yet. So for those of you who don't know, that's Coach Casey. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really my background.
Lots of experience with Tony. And I think Tony tacked on something that, just as a quick tangent, I think great coaches played sports, were athletes at some point in time, and then they had great coaches as well, right? So what you bring, it's just like having a great teacher, having that be the reason why you studied XYZ in college or continued on a career path. So the fact that you had great coaches in your life and the fact that you still have this love for running and wanting to be of service and helping people, I think that's the root of all great trainers, all great coaches, is the reason why we wake up at 4:30 in the morning to do, you know, to map out a run clinic is because we can't wait to see the PRs. We can't wait to see the aha moment when people finally get it, right? So you guys saw his rap sheet as far as running. Tony's actually going to be alongside me hosting the run clinic this weekend. So the big question is, why should runners practice running? Does that make sense, right? So when we're in like middle school, line up to the free throw line. This is how you shoot a free throw, right? But I never had anyone, because my background is not running. I never had one of my coaches say, okay, guys, we're going to do run technique. It was always two laps, like go run, right? Come back in and then we'll start learning. So from your perspective, running is your sport. So why should everyone who's watching this, listening to this, why should they practice running like they practice their Olympic lifts, like they practice strength training, like they practice hitting a golf ball? Like, why should people practice running?
So not to be redundant and ask a question with a question, but why do we do anything, right? Why do we weight train? And I think that's the best example is we weight train because in order to move a heavy amount of weight or heavy amount of anything, you have to be able to move efficiently. You have to be able to move correctly so that you don't injure yourselves. And you have to be able to push the bar and push that muscle adaptation so that you can get strong, you can get faster, you can improve your endurance. And that's muscular endurance. So in this case, why practice running? Well, running is in everything that we do in the sense of the techniques of running or the benefits of running. Your cardiovascular endurance is what's being tested in those CrossFit benchmarks, and as well as any of the Metcons that we do. It's literally your cardiovascular system's efficiency. So outside of the direct benefits of running, the indirect benefit is you're going to improve your cardiovascular fitness for your Metcons, and which is something that running itself trains for, and that's what you're training your running to do, is to be cardiovascularly efficient, but you're also improving it for your other items, which is going to be your Metcons. It's even going to be your weight training. When you're doing our 1RM maxes, how efficient you breathe and hold your breath and know when to correctly breathe is going to be able to be improved, because you're going to be able to function at a higher intensity for a longer duration of time. Even if it's only a second for a 1RM max is huge. Why practice running for running's sake? Like I said, you have to be able to move efficiently. So if you can't move efficiently when you're running, you're going to be wasting more energy, so that when you have to come do pull-ups, for example, you won't be able to recover as fast, or you're going to need to recover. The goal is, if you're moving efficiently and you're running efficiently, you should be able to come in from a run at 65% and be able to jump straight into a pull-up, straight into wall balls. You shouldn't have to be killing over or slowing down so much that you can't efficiently get the benefits of both doing an 800-meter run in the middle of Murph and also come in and do wall ball shots. You're going to be letting your muscles recover because you're so winded.
Yeah, I think, and that's a great segment. Like Tony talked about the why specifically to CrossFit, right? The why specifically to running. And I think with run technique, a lot of people default the run in a workout to my recovery, right? And the reason why it's defaulted is because they have poor form. No one's ever said, I'm going to do the wall balls as my recovery, right? No one's ever said, I'm going to do pull-ups and use that as my recovery, unless their technique is really efficient in that. And so for running, and you can correct me, isn't running like the number one injured sport or something like that? I need to double check that. But based on volume, I mean, there's way more runners, right?
Well, outside of that, I think yes and yes. I mean, based on volume, but just based on running itself, running is a dangerous sport in the sense of people think, oh, you're just running, how can I hurt myself? It's not like I'm lifting weights in CrossFit or in gymnastics, which includes CrossFit, but I'm doing these high technical moves. Running itself is the most injured sport because it's also the sport that you can do incorrectly because of bad technique.
And then high repetition of bad technique leads to injury.
Yeah, it leads to compound injuries, things like stress fractures, things like even lower back injuries, which you see a lot in running. And we'll talk about that at the running.
Core work, why it's important for strength training. So there's a lot of whys to run. And even if you're not a runner, an elite runner, even if you're a weekend warrior and you're not looking to get better technique, you have suffered probably from plantar fasciitis. You probably suffered from some type of calf strain or shin splints. So that's why it goes into technique, right? Technique is so important in getting better at the sport that you love doing. So if you love running, get better at it. And it's one of the skills that we do in CrossFit. So you should train it like you do the snatch, like you do locking your legs for a rope climb. It's just as important in order to get a good overall sense of fitness and wellness, right? Exactly. And so that's the one thing is I think people don't know about run technique, right? So I don't think it's as popularized in CrossFit, I know, in my opinion, because a lot of times you want to stick with the weightlifting because that's the flashy, fun stuff, right? Or learning how to do your first handstand, but no one's jonesing to go out and do drills for pull technique in the run, right? Yeah. But when you do, CrossFit becomes more fun, right? Because it's not like the biggest, weakest link in your arsenal. It becomes something that you can practice every day. And that's something we're going to go all over with is like, just because you learn how to snatch doesn't mean you walk over to a bar, put your body weight on it and go for it, right? You practice with a PVC pipe. You make sure the efficiency and the mechanics are there consistently over time before you push intensity, right? And runs the same way. Like you want to learn the drills, learn how to be repeatable, mechanically repeatable and efficient before you're like, you know what? I'm going to try to hold this position for an 800 meters. You'd be surprised how hard it is to hold great position. I mean, from my point of view, not being a the best efficient runner, to be able to hold it for like 100 meters to 200 meters is very taxing. And just like how it is the first time you picked up a barbell, like you like, oh my goodness, just doing drills, I am done. Same thing with run.
Exactly. And I think you tied it best there. Think back when you first joined CrossFit and you did, honestly, any movement with CrossFit. I remember doing my first back squat and my knees going in. It's the same idea. So just being able to make that efficient for you guys, you may not notice it right away, but you may do a Metcon another day where we're doing 400 meter repeats and just notice that you could come in back in and maybe not go straight into the exercise, but recover a lot quicker.
No, or here. Sorry, one of our runners is running. Actually, that's what's juicy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is technique is everywhere. Technique doesn't just stop at weights. It goes into push-ups. It goes into running. It goes into everything that we do. So we're going to make sure that we capitalize on teaching you proper technique in every form of your fitness.
Yes.
And that's now running.
Yeah, I'm super pumped to have Tony as not only part of the Ohana, the community we have here, but the great thing about CrossFit, it's about our CrossFit, is the depth and breadth of people that we have as part of the community. And everyone's an expert in something, right? They've practiced it long enough. So tapping into that resource here just helps our community grow. So I'm super excited about this weekend because not only will you learn proper technique, video analysis of run technique, hydration, fueling, race day, Tony's also prepared a 12-week cycle, right? So he's programmed a 12-week cycle for anywhere from couch to 5K all the way up to how far are some of the longer distances?
I think we have it through a half marathon plan, but that doesn't mean that we can't make a marathon plan for you. I think like anything else, running is something that you specialize in. All the plans are specialized, but for a marathoner, if you're interested in doing a marathoner, first of all, come. And then second of all, your training plan is going to be a little different. We're going to specialize it to make sure we find out what your current fitness is and where we need to get you, because the marathon is,
it's a test. It's a big test.
It's a test.
Ask Henry. It's a big plug, Henry.
Yes, Henry. No, and vice versa. I'll tell you guys, when I did my first marathon, I made noises that I didn't think my body could make because I was so much pain. And not to scare you guys, but that's the idea. It's a huge undertaking. So when we're making these plans for you guys, we're really taking into account who the athlete is, not just giving. You could easily buy a book. I have a book in my bag. I could pull that right now.
Or you could Google a template.
Yeah,
you could.
And but that doesn't mean that you're going to succeed, right? Like I have a book here that has like 50 different training plans that you guys could easily pull and do. The goal is that every coach, just like when Rob gives you personalized pre warm up techniques and post warm up techniques, if you're having shoulder mobility issues, is each plan should be specialized to the runner and not a plan that's for all runners. So that's the goal here. I got feedback from Rob on it for different exercises to make sure that you guys aren't always running and that it's fun for you guys. But each workout plan is going to be specialized to you. It's going to be specialized to pacing for you. And so that's what's really big here. I think that's what I most largely bring to the table. I think a lot of the other stuff Rob really did a great job putting together. I'm really excited to go over with you guys. But just giving that perspective of the importance of a training plan. So just like you don't just go straight into one, trying to one RM every single exercise. You develop strength, and that's what we do here. We do those slow deadlifts at
tempos.
At tempo and at 65% of max. You don't go do a one RM every
No.
Every Wednesday. So
no one would come back.
Yeah.
Exactly. No one would come back. So before we go, and thank you for your time, Tony. I really appreciate you being here, especially early morning to do this. I mean, it just goes to show your commitment and your love for the community here, the fact that we're meeting at 5 a.m. to do this. But can you tell me can you tell me why or the benefits? So of course there's a value added, right, of the run technique. And we are doing it significantly discounted. As much as I wanted to charge it. And there's a reason being, it's because 100% of the proceeds are going to a charity that Tony works with. So I want to give you a second to kind of plug the charity, talk about the importance of it, why you do it, how people can help, yeah. Right? If they're not coming to the Run Clinic, how can they still like donate and help you?
Yeah, of course. Some of you guys know, I do run for Team with a Vision. So the idea of Team with a Vision is we work with visually impaired runners. There's three types of blindness that are technically active in the community. There's total blindness, which is level 3. That means that they actually can't see anything. It's total blackness. Level 2, which is typically where they could see light, so they could tell different contrasts of lights and sometimes color. Like they might be able to see orange or those brighter colors, those lime green colors, those electric colors. And then there's type 1, which is visually impaired in the sense of they can't, they can see shapes, but they can't actually tell you what they're looking at. And so what we do is we work with these athletes that are phenomenal athletes. That run, and they do marathons, 10Ks, ultra marathons. Some even do rowing and CrossFit, and we assist them in that. So I work specifically with runners, and we guide them through marathons. Some of them are first-time marathoners. Some of them are elite athletes, Paralympians. So we guide them through marathons. We assist them with getting their eyes evaluated because those are very costly procedures, and a lot of them, they may not have the means to get those procedures done so that they can get things to help them run or to even work. And so what we do is we fundraise all year to take them to the Boston Marathon, to the California International Marathon, as well as provide them avenues so that they can get discounted items for their eye checks. And so all the proceeds go directly to them. I actually know the founder directly, and she's a beautiful woman that just always gives and gives her heart to the organization. And so the best way to help is, other than if we're ever here supporting us and coming to run with us, is you can give. So what I'll do is I'll provide the link to Rob.
Yeah, we'll post it in the bottom of this podcast, both on the audio SoundCloud and also the video that we post on Facebook.
Yeah. And then, but also feel free to look up Team with a Vision, because what we do is we actually collect information of people that may be interested in helping. And in the sense of helping is it's just as helpful for us to get guides out to lead some of these runners. Some of them are slow beginners that may just walk the whole time, but they just need somebody there to help them in case they fall, in case to help them through potholes and things like that. So I urge you guys to definitely look into it, but the proceeds go to everything. What it does is it covers the runners to show up to the race, to make sure that we provide them with any pre-post-race things that they need, tape. All the proceeds go to the runner. As much as I would say it goes, any organization has some cost to it.
Of course.
We actually try to give everything to the runners. All the guides pay out of pocket to make sure that they make the trip up there. And so it's just donating it so that these athletes can have the same opportunity that you guys have to work out. And one day I'll bring one of my athletes in, but they're some of the most beautiful people that despite having these impairments, they just accomplished so much, and it just motivates you to kind of get out there and run. And that's what got me back into running, actually, is just running with these athletes and hearing their stories. And despite this impairment, being able to be elite athletes is just astonishing.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Definitely check out the links below. I think what Tony tied on is really important to my heart too, is like, yes, financial donations are great, right? Because it's what gets the cogs moving. But I think the most valuable thing you can donate is your time, right? So donating your time to help other people's is probably the most most beneficial, right? And so, yeah, check out the link, donate funds if you can, donate time. Even if you're not a runner, like I said, you could walk with another walker, which is fine. But the fulfillment you have, and we talked about when we first talked about coaching in general, the fulfillment you have for helping others is beyond any kind of paycheck that I can give it to you. So
yes, exactly. And think about it this way. If you come to the Run Clinic, you also get the added benefit of hanging out with us.
That's worth its weight in gold. And I weigh a lot more than gold. So,
And then, and coming up, we'll do the mile challenge, Rob versus Tony at Rob.
Oh, it's still, yeah. So,
out on the video for,
so if you guys have literally lasted 25 minutes of this podcast, first off, thank you. Second off, make sure you're watching the words at work and not listening to it, because everybody else can listen to it. But there is an in-house challenge, Tony, elite runner, Robert, not so elite runner. The challenge is a 1 mile race, but Tony needs to wear a weight vest that accumulates to my body weight.
So like the, or add a comment below if you want to see that.
Oh, we might live feed that.
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure out how this is going to work. Me strapping weights to him to make this work. But you know what? Technique is technique. So Tony will probably still beat me, but I will run the hardest mile for the first 200 that I've ever done.
Yeah. So.
Okay, guys. Thanks for watching.